Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is back to a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. Brisbane, 1983. A lost father, a mute brother, a mother in jail, a heroin dealer for a stepfather, and a notorious criminal for a babysitter. It's not as if Eli's life isn't complicated enough already. He's just trying to follow his heart, learning what it takes to be a good man, but life just keeps throwing obstacles in the way. Not least of which is Titus Braz, legendary Brisbane drug dealer. But if Eli's life is about to get a whole lot more serious, he's about to fall in love. And, oh yeah, he has to break into Bago Road Jail on Christmas Day to save his mom. Today's Reader's Advisory is Boy Swallows Universe by Trent Dalton. Boy Swallows Universe is a bittersweet coming-of-age story with deeply flawed characters and an unhappy family. Set in Brisbane, Australia, this period fiction moves along with complex characters and a darkly humorous plot. Readers may also enjoy Long Live the Tribe of Fatherless Girls by T. Kira Madden. Acclaimed literary essayist T. Kira Madden's raw and redemptive debut memoir is about coming of age and reckoning with desire as a queer, biracial teenager amidst the fierce contradictions of Boca Raton, Florida. A place where she found cult-like privilege, shocking racial disparities, rampant white-collar crime, and powerfully destructive standards of beauty hiding in plain sight. As a child, Madden lived a life of extravagance, from her exclusive private school to her equestrian trophies and designer shoe brand names. But under the surface was a wild instability. The only child of parents continually battling drug and alcohol addictions, Madden confronted her environment alone. Facing a culture of assault and objectification, she found lifelines in the desperately loving friendships of fatherless girls. With unflinching honesty and lyrical prose, spanning from 1960s Hawaii to the present-day struggle of a young woman mourning the loss of a father, while unearthing truths that reframe her reality, Long Live the Tribe of Fatherless Girls is equal parts elegy and love letter. It's a story about trauma and forgiveness, about families of blood and affinity, both lost and found, unmade and rebuilt, crooked and beautiful. Or, The Lost Man by Jane Harper. They are at the Stockman's grave, a landmark so old no one can remember who is buried there. But today, the scant shadow it casts was the last hope for their middle brother, Cameron. The Bright family's quiet existence is thrown into grief and anguish. Something had been troubling Cameron. Did he lose hope and walk to his death? Because if he didn't, the isolation of the outback leaves few suspects. Or, How It Feels to Float by Helena Fox. Biz knows how to float. She has her people, her posse, her mom, and the twins. She has Grace, and she has her dad, who tells her about the little kid she was, who loves her so hard, and who shouldn't be here but is. So Biz doesn't tell anyone anything, not about her dark runaway thoughts, not about kissing Grace or noticing Jasper, the new boy, and she doesn't tell anyone about her dad, because her dad died when she was six. And Biz knows how to float, right there on the surface. Normal, okay, regular, fine. But after what happens on the beach, first in the ocean and then in the sand, the tethers that hold Biz steady come undone. Dad disappears, and with him, all comfort. It might be easier, better, sweeter to float all the way away. Or maybe stay a little longer, find her father, bring him back to her. Or maybe, there's a third way Biz just can't see yet. Bonus segment. My personal favorite Goodreads list Boy Swallows Universe is on is Big Fat Books Worth the Effort. Happy reading, everyone. Today's library tidbit is about Reader's Advisory. I figured 2 years and some months in, I could let everyone in on my super secret formula for doing Reader's Advisory. But first off, what is Reader's Advisory? I start all my trainings with this question, and I have to reassure staff that it is not a trick question. Reader's Advisory is pairing readers with materials they might be interested in. You can do Reader's Advisory for yourself. It is a bit different than how I would do Reader's Advisory for patrons, how I do it for the podcast, and how I train staff members in doing Reader's Advisory. If you are ever asking a library worker for help finding a new book to read or movie to watch, know that they are more than likely suggesting titles, not recommending them. Why this distinction? Well, we probably haven't read or watched the item we're suggesting. We haven't read every book in the library, even though I kind of wish I had. I know I've only read a small fraction of the titles I've done Reader's Advisory for the podcast, so we can't really recommend them. However, we've done the research and read into the titles enough to be able to suggest that they fit the description of what you're looking for. Just know, we want you to say no if you don't like a suggestion. Getting a, no, I'm not interested in this, is extremely helpful. We love getting a few no's. All very good. How does this help you? Well, I'm going to walk you through how I do Reader's Advisory for myself, telling you about a specific database and a website I like to use to find good suggestions. Hopefully, you'll find that helpful in doing Reader's Advisory for yourself in the future. If not, we did launch a Reader's Advisory service where you fill out a very short form on the website and library staff sends you a short list of suggestions. It's currently limited to books, but if you want us to open it up, we are certainly willing to give that a go. To find the form, head to our website, largopubliclibrary.org, and under the Services tab, click on Reader's Advisory Request. It can take a few days for us to get back to you through the form, but it also means we've had longer to research titles. Now, on to the practical example. And you'll have to bear with me a bit as I will be going through my thought process as well when I do Reader's Advisory for myself. I'm going to do a Reader's Advisory for one of my favorite science fiction fantasy series, Binti, Binti Home and Binti Night Masquerade by Nnedi Okorafor. The first step I would do for Reader's Advisory for this series is to head to our databases and log into Novelist with my library card. Once I've pulled up the information about the title, I check out the information available to me about the title. Novelist calls these appeal factors. Now, depending on why I like the book will change which appeal factors I pay attention to for the book. For instance, part of why I enjoyed Binti was it allowed me to read and learn from a people that are not my own. I'm a white person, living in an area that's about 90% white, working in a library that's staffed about 70% white. Binti is Himba, and Nnedi Okorafor herself is Nigerian-American. Binti is African futurism. So not only is it from and about a viewpoint that is not my own, it also takes that viewpoint and looks into the future using it. Binti gives me the ability to see how people who are not me imagine the future. I can't grow as a person if I don't listen to the voices of the people who are not me, and whose voices were not taught to me growing up. So it's really important to me to always pay attention to whose voices are being silenced by my reading choices. The character of Binti is a strong, Black, African woman, and we frankly don't get to hear from that demographic nearly enough. Binti also talks a lot about staying true to cultural traditions while also questioning them. I loved that Binti keeps her identity as Himba as she explores space and meets alien civilizations, despite it being incredibly difficult for her to do and in the face of discrimination. The other reasons I liked reading Binti was a tonal shift in the middle of the story, which I can't go into because that would spoil everything, and this is a case where spoilers are huge and important. I also loved the conflict resolution plotline to the trilogy and the aspect of building a support community of friends from beings that aren't from your family background. Again, talking in wide terms so as to not give any spoilers, or try to not give any spoilers. This is one series that I highly recommend if you are looking for quick space opera reads. So, from all that rambling, what am I hoping to find next to read? Well, I want a science fiction fantasy book with not white characters written by not white people that grapples with ideas beyond the traditional white Western concepts typically found in science fiction and fantasy. Bonus points for some level of building a family from people who come from different backgrounds and struggling with figuring out what cultural traditions you want to keep and which you want to discard. Now that I have Binti pulled up on Novelist, the first thing I'm going to do is look at the read-alikes on the right. Scrolling through those titles, I noticed Nine Fox Gambit by Yoon Ha Lee, which is another title I've read and liked and also deals with struggling against cultural norms and identity. I then looked at the read-alikes for each of the books in the Binti series. A couple of books show up on all three books as read-alikes, but when I click on their summaries, they don't have the connection to cultures that aren't my own, and for this reader's advisory, that's important to me. So I make a note for possible future reads and move along. Since the read-alikes really only give me one book that had the same themes as I was looking for, and I had already read that one, I played around with the different appeal factors at the bottom of the page for Binti, the first in the series. I select Own Voices and Space Opera. To get a list of books that are science fiction fantasy, which is typically what space opera is, and also are not from a literary tradition that is my own. Own Voices titles are titles that are written about marginalized people that the author is also a part of. The first three results of that search in Novelist are the Binti series, followed by a young adult title by Yoon Ha Lee, so it looks like this is a good search for me today. The fifth book on the list is A Memory Called Empire by Arcady Martine, which is from a white cultural background, but does have LGBTQIA diversity in it, and his own voices in that matter. And this title has been on my radar since before it was published, so spoilers, I put a hold on it after this reader's advisory. When I click on it to see more about it, I noticed that I had read and really enjoyed half of the read-alikes for A Memory Called Empire, and several more were also on my to-read list. Because A Memory Called Empire is from the white cultural background, and I am interested to see more from African futurism or Afrofuturism, these are different titles, but African futurism is a lesser used term, but it is the one that Nnedi Okorafor uses to refer to her own work. I decided to hop over to Goodreads and see what other readers of Binti also liked to read. So readers of Binti on Goodreads also enjoyed reading the Martha Wells Murderbot series, another favorite of mine, and This Is How You Lose the Time War, again, another book I thoroughly enjoyed. I then noticed that The Black God's Drum by P. Jelly Clark showed up again. I had seen it on Novelist as a read-alike on the Binti series, but didn't give it serious thought because it is an alternative history of the American Civil War with fantastical elements added. It is also a young adult novel, and currently I am all stocked up on YA titles, but that one definitely gets added to the to-be-read pile. Two other books and authors keep showing up for Binti, N.K. Jemisin and Rivers Solomon. Just about every series or title N.K. Jemisin has written has appeared as a read-alike for Binti, and I have already read several of her titles, but I hadn't read How Long Till Black Future Month. So I went ahead and put a hold request on that one, as it is a science fiction fantasy collection of short stories, so fast reads just like Binti, written by a black woman about black people. Again, just like Binti. I already have The Deep by Rivers Solomon, which is a mythology fiction title coming from the African perspective. So I took this title popping up on the suggestions as a clue to bump that novella up in my reading queue. Three books, two holds, and a bump up from a book I already own is a pretty good selection when doing reader's advisory for yourself. When you fill out a reader's advisory form, we send you six suggestions. We do not expect all six to be hits, so if you get some that seem way off the mark, Chalk those up to a situation where we picked from the wrong appeal factors. There are so many reasons why a person might read a book and want to read more like it that it's always going to happen. The read-alike suggestions for Binti that I discarded because they didn't have any own voices elements and they came from the same white culture that I am from aren't books that I wouldn't enjoy. They just aren't the books that I was hoping to find right now, and that's okay. This may have sounded confusing and kind of long, but I hope you'll all pop a book title into Novelist and play around with their read-alike lists and appeal factors. And if you're stumped, please fill out a reader's advisory form. I would love to send you some suggestions. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a una nueva edición de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Víctor y soy el bibliotecario en la Biblioteca de Largo de Acceso a la Comunidad. Hoy les voy a hablar sobre un libro de ficción que tenemos en la colección en español que se titula Matar a un ruiseñor por Harper Lee. La sinopsis. Un inquietante retrato de raza y clase, inocencia e injusticia, hipocresía y heroísmo, tradición y transformación, en el profundo sur de la década del 1930. Matar a un ruiseñor de Harper Lee sigue siendo tan importante hoy en día como lo fue en su publicación inicial en 1960, durante turbulentos años del movimiento de los derechos civiles. Ahora, esta novela más querida y aclamada renace para una nueva era como una hermosa novela gráfica. Scout, Jem, Boo Radley y Atticus Finch y la pequeña ciudad de Maycomb, Alabama, son todos capturados en ilustraciones vívidas y conmovedoras del artista Fred Forham. Duradera en su visión, la novela atemporal de Harper Lee ilumina las complejidades de la naturaleza humana y las profundidades del corazón con humor, honestidad y una belleza tierna y nostálgica. Tanto los admiradores de toda la vida como los nuevos lectores se sentirán conmovidos por esta edición visual que une las filas de las adaptaciones de la novela gráfica, Una arruga en el tiempo y El alquimista. Mi opinión. Matar a un ruiseñor se publicó por primera vez en 1960 y Harper Lee fue de inmediato galardonada con el premio Pulitzer. Desde ese momento, la novela ha sido alabada y criticada casi partes iguales, pero, en cualquier caso, forma parte de la lista de grandes clásicos de la literatura norteamericana. La novela nos cuenta la historia de un pueblo situado en Alabama durante la Gran Depresión, tras el crack del 1929. La narradora es Scout, una niña de 6 años que explica, con la inocencia de su propiedad, la situación de injusticia, racismo, desigualdades y prejuicios en las que vive. A través de los ojos de unos niños, la autora nos cuenta una historia que refleja la cerrazón de la sociedad americana de la época y el miedo a todo lo que era diferente. En este caso, el formato elegido para recuperar el clásico de la novela es la novela gráfica. Fred Forham se ha encargado tanto de las ilustraciones como de la adaptación del texto y pienso que es un trabajo magnífico. He tenido que hacer verdaderos esfuerzos para no devorar la novela de una sentada, pero es que quería leerla despacio para poder saborear cada viñeta con la calma que se merece. Había leído un montón de veces Matar a un ruiseñor, pero poder releerlo, esta vez de un modo tan visual, me ha parecido todo un regalo. Esta adaptación de Fred Forham está totalmente a la altura del clásico, respeta su esencia y añade un extra al dejarnos ver a los personajes mientras nos cuentan su historia. Obviamente el ritmo es otro, pero he vuelto a sentir la misma explosión de sentimientos a medida que pasaba las páginas y la sensación de vacío al cerrarlo por última vez. Es todo por hoy, hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, please check out the English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening this month. Again, check out our events page to see which virtual programs you can sign up for. We hope everyone is staying safe out there still. We hope to talk to you again soon. Boy Swallows... Okay, well, I definitely need to check that because I have two different titles for this book. This is going to be a nightmare to edit. I'm sorry, myself, in the future.